Hello and welcome to the Scottish Cup opposition analysis. Celtic take on Inverness Caledonia Thistle in the Scottish Cup final, the 3rd of June 2023. It's a 5:30 kickoff at the National Stadium. We're going to look at what Inverness will be bringing to the game and how Celtic can counter that. I am Christopher Gallagher and I'm joined by Christian Wolfe. Hello, Christian.
Hello, Christopher. Yes, happy to be here with How Will Kelly Thistle set up.
Inverness, Caledonia Thistle, they're in the Scottish Championship. They're a team we actually know pretty well over the last of contemporary times in regards
to... Don't get me started.
They have knocked us out of the Scottish Cup a couple of times. Obviously, Supercaligo-Globalistic Celtic are atrocious, that killed John Barnes' career at Celtic. And they also put us out when we went to the Highlands in our Seville season as well.
What I care about, Christopher, is how they robbed Ronnie Dyla of his triple.
Inverness Caledonia Thistle, they finished sixth in the Championship. Christian, what are they going to offer? Is it going to be anything different from what we've seen before? Talk us through how they set up and how they play.
Yeah, so I've been watching Inverness Caledonia Thistle, so you don't have to. It's always interesting watching the Championship. So I think the headline news for Cali is always, as I said, sixth in the Championship. However, if you look at the XG, we love the XG here because it tells us a little bit behind the results, behind the goals.
Sorry, for the people who maybe aren't necessarily aware, can you just explain what XG is?
XG is expected goals. So expected goals is essentially a way of measuring the quality of a chance instead of just counting plain old shots and stuff like that. Essentially, it's an XG can go from 0.00 expected goals all the way up to 0.99. It's essentially a way of classifying the probability of that chance being scored. So if you have, for example, an XG of 0.25 expected goals, on average, that chance will be scored 1 in 4 times, yeah, on average. So it's essentially... And over a longer sample, like one season is maybe a slightly short sample, but usually over a longer sample, your goals will line up with your expected goals. But for example, if your expected goals is lower than your goals, you can say you're quote-unquote being a bit lucky.
Yeah.
If your expected goals are way above your goals for and against, you usually, it's just on a little bit of a bad streak. Your performance has actually been good. You just haven't been able to convert your chances this season.
Excellent. Sorry to put you off track there.
No. So is Inverness better or worse than sixth place in the league? Because obviously I don't care about the real league. That's just, what you care about is the expected goals league, really. Please don't announce Inverness Caledonia Thistle, third worst team in the Championship this season. So they are, not they are. Essentially the goal difference is about 11.5 expected goals lower than their actual goals difference. So I wouldn't say they're a team that's been unlucky not to like get into the playoffs and so on. Obviously they've had a really good cup run. Obviously they're in the final, but there's nothing really, from the stats, and we can get onto what I've actually seen of them playing as well, there's not really a hidden threat there, I think, in terms of, this is a team that's just been really unlucky and they might just have a great day and they're actually a lot better than sixth place in the Championship. They're really not. If anything, they're not as good as sixth in the Championship. So good headline news.
Good headline
for
news.
For once this week, yeah?
Yeah. It's not like they're underperforming. They should have got promotion or they should have been in the Championship. They're overperforming. Exactly. So that's a positive. They have had a good cup run in regards to some of the teams they've knocked out. I mean, they defeated Livingston. They defeated Kilmarnock, obviously two Premiership teams. And then Falkirk in the semis was, very, very much a Championship fare. What have you seen from them, having watched them, that potentially could cause us issues?
Yeah, I think overall, it's like Weisskat gives us a nice breakdown in terms of how they compare to the other teams in the league, first of all. And I think things like ball possession, over the season, they've had 50.3% in terms of ball possession, so pretty much straight down the middle, right? So that's fifth in the league. Where they are top of the Champions League is in how many true passes and progressive passes, what Wyscout classifies as progressive passes. And they classify that as essentially, I'm not going to do the whole thing, but essentially, if you're on your own half, it's a pass or a run that moves the ball considerably forward. And that's kind of defined as 30 meters in your own half, 15 meters if you're starting in your own half, goes to the opposition half, and then 10 meters if you start and finish in the opposition half. So quite direct within that as well. So they do try to move the ball up quickly. Other kind of thing, they are a team, and this kind of comes back in terms of how their formation sets up, but we'll get back to. Wyscott also gives us where do they lose the ball the most and where do they recover the ball, where do they win possession back. And they are, compared to all the other teams in Championship, they're one of the higher teams in terms of winning and losing the ball in the middle third. Right. So, which kind of makes sense in terms of, I think, how directed fronted go and a little bit and how they set up as well. I think we can maybe come back to some of the like the key players a bit later, but in terms of how they set up. So, again, in the games I've kind of watched through, but also in terms of like Wyscout, who kind of, you know, logs the formation for each game, they seem very set in a sort of 4-4-1-1 that kind of goes into a 4-2-3-1, right? So you have your very much a team that plays a flat back four. We can kind of get back to that when we talk about what can Celtic do. And then two central midfielders always there. You have the two wingers, and then whether you classify the wingers as part of a middle four or like a more attacking three, probably depends on, you know, if they have the ball or not. And then they usually have one player just behind the striker, and then they have the striker, which is usually Billy McKay, on top. So you know, from our late childhood gal, you know, classic 4-2-3-1, you know, early 2000s, I think that's going into like a 4-4-1-1, 4-4-2. So that is very much the setup in the games I've seen them, and it's very much the setup in, you know, overall this season. So, which I think is interesting, because I don't know if you've listened to myself and Graham McKay's weekly tactics review podcast on thecynic.co, the review. We've talked a lot about this season, about how pretty much from December onwards, Celtic only face team domestically that had a back five, except for Rangers. Yeah. And then the games even before December was a good split between a back five and a back four. And I think once we do the kind of tactical season reviews that we'll be doing as well on thecynic.com, I think we're going to talk a lot about how that Celtic constantly having to face that back five through the league kind of affected Celtic seasons and how they try to kind of manage that. But very long story short, I think it suits Celtic really, really well to play against the back four.
Yeah.
Cali Thistle haven't really played with a back three or back five the whole season. So I would be surprised if they do it now. And I think, you know, Celtic facing, even if it's a very low back four, which we kind of expect, I think that's good news again.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered that a couple of times about the kind of almost frustrations that teams, you know, play with that back five, but then, you know, you flip that, and if they do play with a back four, you know, going toe-to-toe with Celtic can get you scudded at this point. But
I think a lot of teams do the back five because that gives you a midfield three. It gives you three centre-backs and a midfield three. So they're very much just about protecting the middle of the pitch. You've got three centre-back, essentially got three central midfielders as well, but you just keep the two players wide, you know, one on each side. Whereas you play a back four the way Cali Thistle does, you essentially just two centre-backs. You've got two central midfielders, and fair enough, they have like an attacking midfielder that come down, but they essentially have four wide players instead of two wide players. So I think for Celtic, suits them really, really well in terms of how much kind of they invert fullbacks, how wide they are with their wingers. You can kind of stretch that back four like really far out, and then kind of what we call overloading in the middle of the pitch, you know, having more players in the middle of the pitch than opposition.
See the fact that you mentioned the fact that they kind of lose possession in the kind of middle of the park, I mean, that's gravy for us, right?
Yeah. And so I kind of, it's not easy to find games in the championship where one team kind of dominates possession and the other one, it kind of, you know, have to sit back and you know, sit a bit lower and try and block them, because most teams play quite direct and most teams, you know, they don't have a huge possession. So, well, I watched the last couple of matches, Cali-Thessaly. I also went back and watched them against Queen's Park in March away, because that's one of the games where Queen's Park, in terms of Jimenez's oppositions, had the most possession, Queen's Park. And I think in that game, and I've, and also in the game, last game against Ayr in the league, the central midfielders do have a tendency to be quite gung-ho in pressing up, right? So they might start quite deep in that block when Queen's Park and, or Ayr plays out, and then the ball kind of goes to one of Queen's Park or Ayr's central midfielders, and then one of Cali-Thessaly's central midfielders just head down and runs, right? 10, 15, 20 yards to try and go and press. And that, for me, that's kind of a bit kamikaze against a good team. Because you, if you're just two central midfielders anyway, and you're not staying in that shape and you try to go and press high up, you know, a team like Seth will just play around you or just run past you. So they have been, I can see why they've kind of won balls, a lot of balls in the middle of the pitch that way, but I can also see how their center of their team, the center of the pitch, is can be quite, you know, weak at times, and how, especially when they just play with essentially two central midfielders in there. So, but I guess that the key is then, will they press as high up at times, and in that way, taking that kind of many risks, as they did against Queen's Park and Ayr against Celtic, you kind of doubt they will do yeah. that. But then even there's a few instances when they played Ayr in the last game that Ayr kind of had the ball in their half and tried to play around them. And even then, you do get centre-backs, full-backs kind of leaving the shape and jumping up on an opposition player. That's, it's kind of their player. They seem very man-marking focused. And if you play in the championship with essentially a 4-4-1-1, most of the teams you'll face will be a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1 in some degree as well. So it's quite easy to go, okay, that's my man. And they seem quite man-focused in terms of if, for example, there's an example of their fullback jumping up on the Ayr winger when the Ayr winger comes in a bit, and it kind of just leaves all these big spaces behind. So even when they sit quite low, their fullbacks, their centre-backs, they kind of have a tendency to jump up on quote-unquote their player, kind of forgetting about the shape and things of the defensive shape. But then, so if they keep doing that against Celtic as well, they're going to get, honestly, they're going to get scudded.
Yeah, obviously Billy McKay is a player that kind of we all know. He was, you know, he played in the Premiership for quite a bit. He's been around the block a little bit. Have they got any other players that you would kind of look at and think they wouldn't necessarily be out of place in a like lower positioned Premier League team, or are they very much Championship players?
Yeah, I mean, just for watching, there's not much to stand out. So I think that just, you know, the standard kind of Championship fare. I think Mackay, as you say, he's got 12 goals in the league, XG of 13.4. So I mean, he's good value for that. So he's got a goal almost every 90 minutes, a bit lower. He takes a lot of shots in terms of championship. So he's fourth in terms of goals in the championship. He's fourth in terms of shots taken. And so he's very much like, you know, that's their offensive output. And he's probably the best player, to be honest. You got players like Welsh in midfield, who has actually the most passes per 90 of all players in the championship. Like he doesn't play every game, but he's played quite a bit recently. Got someone like Ose Henderson in midfield. He's a right winger. He has the third most key passes. So a key pass is classified essentially setting up a chance, setting up a shot. So he's got the third most key passes per 90 in the championship. Only 21 as well. So he's, you know, he seems a decent player. But overall, the team looks really kind of set. Like, if you look at the last 10 games, you know, Richards, the goalkeeper, has played all of them. Harper, the left back. Diaz, one of the centre backs, played all 10. The right back Carson has played in 9 of them. And then there's probably Divine on another centre back he's played about. And then the same in midfielders. Allardyce and Shaw played all 10 games. Welsh, as I said, played in 8 of them. Billy McKay's played in 10. Henderson played in 8. So, and a couple of, like, did Samuels and McKay, who's kind of come on, they've come on sub in every game as well. So that's why I've kind of, you look at this and, okay, they've had the whole month to kind of prepare, but the lineup is pretty stable. The formation is pretty stable. So I would be really surprised if we don't see most of those players in kind of like a 4-4-1-1 or a 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it. Probably more of a 4-4-1-1 or even a 4-5-1 against Celtic. But I think that's what you're going to get.
In regards to, obviously, you've said words like direct. So they're a very direct team. And it's a cup final. So, you know, you'd expect them to go for it because they've got nothing to lose. How do you think they'll target Celtic? Is there any areas that they'll target, or, you know, is it coming up against that quality that they'll just take what they can get?
Yeah, I mean, famous last word. I wouldn't be optimistic, like, on their behalf, because I think what we've seen in the Premiership a lot this season is that it is often like the quote-unquote weaker teams that have caused Celtic trouble, in the sense that they've been difficult to break down. So we've had teams like St Mirren, Kilmarnock at Celtic Park, West County coming in sometimes, just sitting in that 5-3-2, a lot of the teams in the Premiership has kind of played the same way, almost kind of perfected it, but I think they've learned from each other to see that this is a way we can not nullify Celtic, but we can keep the score to 1 or 2 nil,
yeah,
right? Or we lose with that. And they've done that quite well against Celtic. I just don't think, obviously, Inverness hasn't come up against a team like Celtic, even Celtic themselves this season. And they keep playing with this back four as well. So playing a back four for Celtic, especially one that's quite man-marking orientated, and, you know, they want the fullbacks on the wingers, they want their wingers on Celtic's fullback. If Celtic comes anywhere close to that kind of rotation of positions, changing positions, the fullbacks coming in, the wingers staying out wide, that kind of movement, I almost fear for Kelly Tissell in terms of, like, okay, they're going to try and sit deep and so on, but even if you sit too deep against Celtic, that's also not good, because they'll overrun you, they'll find a way through. So what the teams in the Premiership has done this season is they've sit deep or not too deep, and they've been very little space between the lines. So there's very little space between the defensive line, midfield line, and attacking line. With Kelly Tissell being so man-marked, having a back four and so on, I think they will really struggle defensively. Attacking-wise, as I said, you know, they play with the wingers, they play with the fullbacks, and I think that's where a lot is going to come from. It's going to be counters. You know, they're not particularly good at set pieces in terms of compared to the rest of the Championship. Like, they don't really score, create more than average of that as well. So it's probably been more about getting McKay into positions, you know, where he can do something. But how often they're going to be able to put him into a position with that overwhelming attacking system that Celtic have, I really struggle to see how they're going to hurt Celtic at all. I'm so glad this pod is going out for free, so everybody can hear that. come Saturday and they do something. But I mean, just looking at it, you know, with all the usual caveats of, you know, being respectful of all that, like, this, the quality of this team and their tactical setup so far in the season, unless they take some sort of rabbit out of the hat, it's just should fit Celtic perfectly.
Just to kind of finish off, what can Celtic do? We know how we play. We know, you know, there's obviously a question mark over Kyogo's fitness, but we know the other 10. What can Celtic do to kind of make this really count?
It just sounds boring, but they need to do the things that they're good at and what to keep doing. So I talked about the back four. playing against a back four and essentially two central midfielders. So what I think you're likely to get Mackay like running between the Celtic centre backs, right, to press, and then the second striker slash attacking midfielder would probably sit on Callum McGregor. But after that, you only got two central midfielders and two centre backs, really, unless they do something special. So what Celtic need to do is, as I said, what especially again with the fullbacks, if somebody like Greg Taylor comes inwards, in Calitis will really have some decisions to make, because if he comes inwards and his winger doesn't follow him, Celtic's 3-2 in the middle of the time. The same with Alistair Johnson all the time. Celtic's number eights, Matt O'Reilly and probably, Rio Hatate, when if they come wide, the fullbacks come in, create that movement to try and pull, Inverness Calitis's midfielders out of shape, because they seem very man-marking kind of focused. And if that's the case, if they'd just been told, you stick to Rio Hatate, you stick to Matt O'Reilly, those guys are going to run up and down, they're going to run sideways, they're going to stretch that defense, get them out of that shape. And as soon as they get a little bit out of the shape, as soon as there's some pockets of space in the middle of the pitch, Celtic are, that incisive passing, somebody will always be there. And then again, see, if you only got two center backs and you don't really have anybody to jump out, if the two midfielders are struggling, again, there's going to be a lot of space to kind of in the final third to find those true balls, be it to Kyogo or anybody. So Celtic just needs to do what they're good at, and I think they're going to get a lot, fairly as certain as you can be, that they'll have a lot of success, probably more success than they usually have against the back five in the league.
Great stuff, Christian. This has been an absolute joy. Any kind of thoughts?
No, I mean, Celtic's lineup, obviously, as I said, the only kind of questions around it really, I guess, is Kyogo. I think if Kyogo wasn't to start and say Haksabanovic was definitely ready, I mean, Dice Mayer on top. I'm just putting it out there. I think that's, in terms of, running those kind of two centre backs, if it's just two of them, kind of rugged as well. I'd be happy with O as well. I think he can handle this. Shout out to I'm the only one who's, probably to go to shout. Kobayashi against this team in terms of having somebody, because that team's gonna sit quite low. I don't think they're huge on pressing. Having a centre back, I think essentially what I'm saying, I think the centre backs is gonna have a lot of space to just step out and even be able. So, Iwata is good and comfortable. Kobayashi, I think, is on his game. He can be very good at that. So I don't think it'd be a bad game for him either. Having said that, I think Iwata is probably going to start.
Great stuff. Christian Wolf, joy as always. Thank you very much, sir.
Pleasure is all mine.